Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Saga of Recluse, Book 1, The Magic of Recluse, Part 2, by L.E. Modisett Jr., narrated by Bradley Smith, with performances by Andy Brownstein, Amanda Forstrom, Elizabeth Jernigan, Terrence Aselford, Alejandro Ruiz, Christopher Walker, Nick DePinto, Chris Ginnebach, Michael Glenn, Kimberly Gilbert, Carolyn Kashner, Tara Giordano, Rose Elizabeth Supan, Mort Shelby, Nora Ashrati, Chris Davenport, Scott McCormick, Jonathan Church, Colleen Delaney, David Jordan, Matthew Bassett, Nanette Savard, Richard Rowan, Michael John Casey, Matthew Pauly, Lawrence Redmond, Joe Mallon, and Ken Jackson. Saga of Recluse, Book 1. The Magic of Recluse, Part 2.
Gerlach was still protesting when I checked on him after a breakfast of 3 overpriced and overbaked corn muffins eaten next to 2 hungover and scowling cavalry troopers. As usual, Justin was nowhere around, having left with the dawn on some wizardly errand.
Plain hay just not enough for you, fellow?
I set the saddlebags on the stall barrier, checking to see if my old saddle and the worn blanket remained where I had racked them. They were still there, proof either that the inn was honest or that my gear was worth less than that of other potential victims. My still-shielded staff remained tucked in the stall corner, but I did not actually handle the wood, since the shielding disappeared whenever my hands touched it, unless I cast a larger shield. With little thought, I grabbed my no longer invisible staff and burst from the stable, looking around the courtyard.
Now stay still.
The noises came from the alleyway, and like many another perfect fool, I followed the sound until I came across 2 well-dressed bravos 2 rods or so toward the town center, standing in the morning shadows. Both looked up and toward me, the shorter one on the right releasing a woman in ripped clothing, then pushing her toward the brick wall behind him. The taller one already had his sword out, but he looked at me and then at my staff.
You're already dead, boy.
He gestured to his companion, the one who had held the woman.
Let's go, Bildal.
Without even looking at me or the huddled heap on the bricked pavement of the alley, the 2 strolled almost arrogantly toward the far end of the alley, the end that opened onto some sort of square where I could see wagons and horses passing. Around where I stood, looking from the backs of the departing bravos to the huddled and silent figure against the bricks, the back walls and iron-banded rear doors of homes or businesses remained steadfastly closed, the alley deserted. I shifted my study to the woman, who looked back at me blankly, unmoving, although her black eyes moved from my face to my staff and back. Tears oozed from her eyes, and her lips were tight. A reddish abrasion covered most of her left cheek, as if her face had scraped against the rough brick walls. Her clean, white, and plain blouse had been ripped open across the front, and she hunched her shoulders and crossed her arms as if to cover her breast, partly revealed by the treatment accorded her in her garments. Despite the gray streaks in her black hair and the pockmarks on her face, the gaps in her garments showed more of a slender and curved figure than she would have wished, as she eased herself into a sitting position without using her hands. Both wrists hung oddly, and the tears continued to seep from her eyes, though her mouth was set firmly against the pane.
Do with me as you will, Black Devil. Your days are numbered now.
I must have gaped. Here the woman had been beaten, assaulted, and nearly raped, and I had saved her from that and possibly worse treatment, and I was a black devil?
The Viscount will catch you.
I shrugged, feigning a calmness I did not feel. Since I might as well be hanged for a wolf as a sheep, I set down the staff and gently let my fingers touch her wrists. What exactly?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?